Live and in color from the NBC News Radio Broadcasting Studios of KCAA, 1050 AM, 102.3 FM, and 106.5 FM, located in beautiful Southern California and in parallel from the Turfs Up Radio Studio in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Thanks for tuning in to the Water Zone Show this evening.
Well, hello again and welcome to the Water Zone today. And we are practicing our social distance from all over the country and hope everybody's doing good. Mr. Chris Davies is the host of the show as well. Chris, how are you doing today?
Doing fine, thanks very much. Hope well. You're all well there in Arizona and our other guests in their respective places of habitation.
Absolutely. So I know the weather is getting a little cooler. I don't know what it is back in California. Here it's dropped a couple degrees into the 90s, but it's still beautiful outside, and they're predicting it'll stay in the mid to high 90s all week long, and no one's complaining about water. They said everything opens up this Friday. They're taking away the stay-in-place and business operation stuff here. What's happening in California?
So pretty much the stay-at-home orders are still in place, but some of the the beaches and parks and things like that are opening up. For us personally here and at our day jobs, we're still doing okay. So hunker in the bunker.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been out here working with our salespeople in Arizona. It's been great. They're a good bunch of guys, and their business is humping, so that's a good thing. Anyway, I'd like to bring on our most favorite news lady for California Water. She's the purveyor of Maven's Notebook, Ms. Chris Austin. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hey, good evening. Hi, guys. How you doing?
We'd be fine. Wonderful. I know I'm fine. Chris is fine.
Hey. We've got this social distancing down. Like, we're like miles apart, like tens of miles, hundred miles apart.
100 miles away. Yeah, so that's a good thing. Hey,
yeah.
I hear there's some hot news in about the Aqua Alliance filed a lawsuit against the USBR against the long-term water transfer program.
Oh, my word, there's so many lawsuits flying around. I swear I got to make a scorecard for them all. And in the past couple weeks, it's all been about the biological opinions, which are the federal rules for operating the water project, and how the state rules that they issued conflict with the federal rules, and everybody's suing over that. So, today to provide some, variance in our news, an organization filed a lawsuit against a transfer program, which is basically a program to take water from the Sacramento Valley and transfer it down to areas in the San Joaquin Valley that need it. At first glance, the Sacramento Valley, which is the part of the Central Valley, north of Sacramento, it's a very different geology and a very different water system up there. They have a lot of rivers, a lot of water, and their groundwater is in pretty good shape. South of Sacramento, in the San Joaquin Valley, they have overpumped their groundwater basins, and they desperately need water, and they need water to come from someplace that has water because there isn't going to be any extra water to be had there. So, so they have this transfer program, and they did some environmental documents, but there's been an objection to this transfer program, and this is not the first lawsuit that this group has filed. They filed the Bureau of Reclamation put out their environmental impact statement on this program, and this group sued once before, and the judge said, yes, you need to go back and you need to fix these things. So they went back and they redid the documents, and then this group has said, no, they're still not good enough. And so now they filed suit. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to try to explain this as simply as I can. And, there's nothing in California Water that is complex. But the situation in the Sacramento Valley is different than in the San Joaquin Valley. Again, the Sacramento Valley north of Sacramento, the San Joaquin Valley south of Sacramento. In the San Joaquin Valley, they have overpumped their groundwater, and most of those basins are considered critically overdrafted, and they are desperately looking for water to refill their basins and to support the agriculture that they have going there. In the Sacramento Valley, the geology is quite different. They have a lot of rivers that flow into these valleys, and they have very vast and deep groundwater basins. And the scientists have said, researchers have said, that the pumping in the Sacramento Valley is probably equal, you know, or similar to that that's been going in the San Joaquin Valley. But the difference is that they have all this water flushing through from all these rivers that flow into the valley and, you know, flow into the aquifers. But that water that they have been pumping and taking out of the Sacramento Valley is going to have an impact. And in fact, they you know, the numbers kind of show that there's been less water showing up in the delta, which is downstream of the Sacramento River, because groundwater is connected to surface water. And if you pump groundwater, what the scientists say, you're really pumping future water that would have shown up in the river. And so the concern is that the impacts for the pumping in the Sacramento Valley are going to show up, and they don't want any more water being sent out of the valley. I mean, they're just against that. They're just against that on principle, to be honest. But in this case, their objection sort of hinges on, you know, this is not healthy for a groundwater basin to be shipping this water out, and we object.
They're pulling on future flows, essentially, right? That's their
exactly. And, you know, from everything that I have seen from the science says that, you know, that if you are pumping groundwater 10 miles from the river, and you're that far inland, you're pumping groundwater, that was water that was migrating toward the river that isn't migrating toward the river. And it can take, you know, in 10 miles, it may take 5, 10, 15 years for that impact to show up in the river, which shows up as less water in the river. But nobody really quite has a handle on why there's not as much water in the river, but hey, guess what? There's not as much. So, you know, really groundwater is pumping future, what likely would have been future water in the river if in a normal hydrologic system. So this is where the implementation of the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act is going to get really interesting. So
lots of stuff to talk about, but that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So going back to Tuesday when your Tuesday, the news digest from Tuesday, the LAO report for...
The budget's bad.
Budget? I mean, wow.
You know, impacts everywhere on the budget. But actually, the other story... we could talk about the budget, but that's doom and gloom, and not necessarily water-related. But, hey, you know, yesterday there's actually a good news water story out there. Can you believe it? Can you believe it?
Tell us.
There is, you know, PG&E has a number of hydropower dams all over, in, you know, Northern California, and actually up high in the Sierras, I mean, state has been plumbed. You could actually go hiking up in the Sierras and come across a hydropower dam. I mean, I'm not kidding. But anyways, up in Northern California, they had a project. It's called the Potter Valley Project, and it's on the Eel River. And one of the things, they had a dam there, and one of the dams impounded water, and then there was a tunnel that took the water from the Eel River and took it over to another reservoir on the Russian River system and sent that down into that water down in the Sonoma County and Santa Rosa area. And PG&E, they were coming up to a point where they had to relicense the dam, and they just knew that it was going to be difficult, because when these dams, they get relicensed every 50 years, and, you know, things have really changed in 50 years. 50 years ago, people didn't really think about the fish. They didn't really know. Now they do. And so when these dams come up for relicensing, they often have to make quite a number of modifications in order to sustain fisheries that are beneath them. And so the PG&E looked at this project, and it was coming up for relicensing, and they said, you know, we're just going to sell it off. So a coalition of people got together, and it's really quite diverse. They have the Sonoma Water Agency, which is the people that supply water on the Russian River, and they have some tribes on the Eel River, and they have the water district on the Eel side. There's five agencies. I can't quite exactly remember them all. They got together, and they have come up with a plan to remove the dam but still supply water to the Russian River watershed, which needs it because they've developed a whole economy about having that extra water, especially, think vineyards, lots of vineyards. So they've come up with a plan to remove one of the dams. This will really help the fish on the Eel River, which is actually one of the lesser developed rivers in California. So it's actually a good thing. And they worked out how to keep the agricultural interest in the water district. You know, everyone had sat down at the table, and they figured out what to do so that everybody is buying in on this solution. So they submitted it to FERC, and we'll see, you know, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and we'll see what they have to say about it. But it does speak to the power of sitting down at the table and coming to a collaborative decision on what to do, where everybody kind of gets something that they want and what they need. So
that's the dam, right, Chris? And isn't that a hydroelectric dam as well?
It's a hydroelectric dam, and it impounded water to send through a tunnel into the Russian River system. And somehow they have figured out a solution. I'm not exactly, you know, I have to admit I did not dig into the FERC report, but Sonoma County Water Agency is on board, and they're, you know, so it just speaks to the power of sitting down and, you know, talking with these people. And it also includes, there's a Indian tribe on the river, and they're also very happy with this. So, you know, it's really, it really speaks to collaborative solutions. Get everybody on all sides and, you know, get them to sit down and get them to talk, you know.
That was the Valley Coalition, Sonoma County has approved that plan, or approved it, or is in favor of it, I guess I should say, at this point, right?
Yes. And, you know, Sonoma County Water Agency is, they have been really smart about, taking care of things in their watershed. They implemented programs to, you know, bring back the salmon and, you know, improve habitat for them. They're very environmentally, they have an environmental focus, but they also get the job done for, you know, the economic purposes, you know, in the valley as well. You know, you can have it both ways when you think smart about these things. And I think the Sonoma County Water Agency really is an example of, you know, smart thinking.
No, I had a boy's talk. That's good. So I was reading in your blog about, and this is a good question for both Chris's here. It was posed, will drip irrigation replace overhead irrigation on farm fields? How do we all, Chris Davies, how do you feel about that?
It'll happen over the natural course of time. Really, that's what's going to happen because of the efficiencies, right? Overhead irrigation is not as efficient as drip irrigation. The problem is all the infrastructure for overhead irrigation is in, and irrigation is expensive to install and more expensive to maintain. And, you know, the people who are going to use that and need to develop the plans don't have the background to just, you know, jump right off the cliff and both feet into the pool of drip. So it'll take a while.
You know, the people who manufacture the farming equipment to do that type of irrigation for the overhead, you know, they're going to have to look for different technologies for the nozzles and all these other things to even try to come close to being efficient to drip.
But I think also, though, I mean, not all plants take the irrigation methods the same. And, you know, I mean, just because you see it in the field doesn't mean that's what it is. For example, I know that they put in subsurface irrigation, but they plant seeds, and then they put overhead sprinklers to germinate the seeds and bring them up, and then when the plants are old enough, they pull out the sprinklers, and it's all subsurface. Because, you know, and sometimes for some crops, flood irrigation is the most efficient. I mean, you can't drip irrigate right. You know, so much depends on, you know, the crop. But there are a lot of improvements coming in irrigation efficiency. And it will only continue to irrigate as we, you know, can figure out how to more precisely, apply water. But I don't, you know, I would just caution, you know, not all flood irrigation is bad. You know, not all overhead sprinklers is bad. And you don't, it all depends on the context of the crop and the soils and, you know, a number of factors.
You're exactly right. We've had people on the show over the last 5 years, horticulturists and things, and we talked about native plants in the desert and things. Where do they get their water from? They get it from the sky. Is it better to water overhead or through the drip? And they're split. A lot of horticulturists are split on what the best way to water those things are. And I guess, and like you said, depends on the crop, depends how you start. You know, it's a good example, and Chris maybe can comment on this. You know, a lot of people want to have a lawn turf, but they want drip irrigation. Well, when you start the thing, you really need to do it from overhead, and then, like you said, with the other crops, you pull it out later, and you rely on the drip irrigation after that. And there's been tests done at New Mexico State University and others. Say, yeah, you can do this. You can put them on putting greens, golf courses and things, and use the drip irrigation. But I don't know. I don't think overhead sprinkling is going to go away. I really don't. That's my opinion. Chris Davies, what do you think?
No, I agree with you. It's not going to go away, right? I mean, if you take the case of naturally occurring flora, like you were saying, endemic plants, natives, whatever you want to call them, right? And then put that against versus crop plants, right? Or different crops. Whether that crop is a food crop or a stone fruit or lawn, right, or turf, it doesn't matter. The wetted soil profile for each of those crops is different. The application of the water during the growth process of whatever crop it is a big determinant on how well that crop will do. So, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all is what I'm saying.
No, and you definitely tailor it to the crop and the soil and all of that. And it's not, you know, like it's like you said, it's not one size fit all. And, you know, when it makes economic sense for farmers to use drip irrigation, they will. And there are grants out there to help farmers convert to that. But farmers are businessmen, and, you know, when it makes sense, you know, this is what they will do. But the crop and the soil, it's so dependent on so many things.
I wish that the governments would give more money to grants for the agricultural world, because it's been proven that all the money for the take your grass out, and the savings that they got from that was like nothing compared to what they would have done if they applied that dollars to the ag world.
Well, and I will tell you this. The California Department of Food and Agriculture has a number of programs, as does the Department of Water Resources, and as does the National Resources Conservation Service. You know, there are grants out there to help farmers convert over to this. You know, I don't know if there's more demand than need, but I do know that there are, you know, programs available to help farmers convert.
You're right. But I just think there should be more.
I look at
the cash for grass in California. There was a report done that Inge Bastoner had given to the Irrigation Association and others, that the money they spent for the turf removal, if they applied that same amount of dollars and rebates that they gave to the homeowners, they would have saved excess of 25 to 30 times more water giving that same amount of dollars to the ag world. So, yes, they do. They do have grants for those. I just think they should expand that. That's just my opinion.
Well, and, you know, the problem is it's great when we all switch to water-efficient landscaping, and we should all do that, and we should all take, you know, do the best we can with all our water use. But when you, you know, start moving people's lawns down to low, you know, low water use, what it means is you're hardening your demand. And the next time there's a drought, you don't have people watering grass. We say, okay, you stop. I mean, now your demand is much harder that you have to meet before there start being real impact. So
you're correct.
You're absolutely correct. Either you allow people to have lawns that they have to fallow, so to speak, when it's a drought, or the water agencies need to find a way to store more water for those dry years. Otherwise, the impacts are going to be harder.
Well,
it's a trade-off.
Absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely.
Are you, Chris, one more question for you. Are you attending or virtually attending the CSA summit in June?
I sure am. And there's also a short course starting on Thursday, the 21st, from UC Davis. It's super affordable for anyone who's interested in groundwater management. It's $100 for 6 sessions online, and it includes a textbook that they mail, like an actual textbook you hold in your hand, that they'll mail to you. It's like a $40 value textbook that you get in the mail. It's $100, 6 sessions, 3 hours a week for 6 weeks, and a special deal if you attend the GSA summit. So if you're into groundwater, you know, you go out to the groundwaterexchange.org. It's another one of my websites, and click on the calendar up in the upper side, and you'll see all the groundwater events.
Do you have to be a member to get that $100 prize?
No, actually, it's from UC Davis. They really wanted to make it very affordable. So I think $100 for 6 weeks of 3 hours a week, or, you know, 6 sessions of 3 hours a week, it's a great, with a $40 textbook in your hands, a hard copy textbook. Oh, I signed up right away.
Good. And you get a shingle at the end to hang on your wall, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So lots of good stuff coming, you know, lots of good stuff coming up. You know, here we're going to buckle down into, you know, implementing the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. So it's, you know, we're getting there.
It's still coming. Well, we're coming up against our half-hour break. Chris, we love you on the show every single week. Our listeners love you a lot. For all the listeners who are listening to the show, please go to mavensnotebook.com. Become a subscriber, help support that, and you can get updates every single day. Pops up on my computer first thing when I turn it on in the morning, and it gives you the latest and greatest, at least in California. But it's nice to know what we're doing on the West Coast, because that could be applied to everywhere else in the country. Good, better, and different. At least we all learn from the same thing. So, Chris, hope everybody checks your website out and becomes a member from you.
Me too. Please come and visit.
All right.
Okay.
Stay well, Chris.
Good evening.
All right, we'll talk to you. Good evening, and stay healthy, and we'll talk to you next week. Take a little break, and Chris is going to make a little announcement about the IA, and then we have our special guest with us. So stick around. We'll be right back.
KCAA Loma Linda, 1050 AM, K292 FQ Riverside, and K293 CF Moreno Valley.
If you knew there was a pipe cement that works better than the one you're currently using, is better for you and the environment, and costs the same or less, would you buy it? Well, no-brainer, right? Weldon, the trusted leader in solvent cements for over 60 years, is pleased to introduce a new line of solvent cements that does all that. Introducing the Eco Series line of solvent cements for PVC piping systems. Not only does it work great and set fast, it also has 30% lower solvent emissions and less smelly fumes, a better workplace environment when you're installing pipes. But don't just take our word for it. Eco Series products are the only solvent cements that are Green Seal certified for environmental innovation for effective performance, improved working conditions, and for use with potable water. Now available in a medium-bodied, fast-setting blue formula, 905 Eco, and a regular-bodied, fast-setting clear formula, 900 Eco. Pick up a can today from your local distributor and see, smell, and feel the difference, just like Joe Sweat, president of Sunrise Irrigation, did. He said, after using Weldon's 905 Eco, we immediately noticed the application was smooth and there was noticeably less odor than other blue solvent cements on the market. The guys love it. To learn more about Eco Solvent Cements from Weldon, visit the website at www.weldon.com or call the technical service hotline at 877-477-8327. That's 877-477-8327.
Time to take a water break and talk some water. Irrigation. Such a refreshing topic. As more and more markets face water restrictions, your customers may be hungry, or should I say thirsty, for water-saving products. For new installations, add options like drip irrigation, controllers that respond to weather data, pressure-regulating heads, or heads with check valves. They all provide easy ways to differentiate your bids and win more jobs. Or for an extra stream of revenue, offer existing customers upgrades like high-efficiency nozzles, rotary nozzles, or Wi-Fi-based controllers. Because when you help your customers save water, you make a world of difference for the earth and your bottom line at the same time. We'll drink to that.
Everybody's having a good day. I'm going to bring Chris back here to talk about an announcement from the IA. Chris?
Yeah, Rob, thanks very much. So our friends and our colleagues over at the Irrigation Association, you know, a lot of people rely on them for information, Rob, as you know. The large part of their constituency is really as contractors and things like that, as well as manufacturers. people with small businesses, and with all the stuff going on now connected to COVID-19, the pandemic, everything else, they're just wondering, you know, what's going to happen to our industry afterwards or as we emerge. So what the IA has done is they prepared a webinar. This webinar will be broadcast next Tuesday. It's May 19th, 2 p.m. on the East Coast, 11 a.m. here on the Pacific Coast, and there in between wherever you are in the United States. I would just urge everyone to go take a look at, take a listen to it. It is entitled Preparing for the New Normal, right? So it's basically a panel of experts. They'll be live right there on the webinar. It'll be an interactive discussion, really just helping with strategies for irrigation contractors, just navigating what's going on in these uncertain times, and also just give a little preview of what to expect as the industry as well as the country emerges from the lockdown.
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, the Toro company, who Chris and I work for, the Toro company is one of the original founders of the Irrigation Association, which we belong to. And we do promote them and all their efforts and what they do for this industry. So they do have great webinars, and I think this is a very important one to learn about what we all need to know about the new normal, whatever that's going to mean. But it's important that we pay attention.
Yeah, let me repeat one more time. Tuesday, May 19th, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Tune in when you can, guys. Thank you.
Great. Well, we have our next guest. Hopefully he's on the line. And we met him about a year ago. His name is Darren Gruner. And he comes from the landscape industry, but then he turned into being the CEO of what's called Turfs Up Radio. But we want to bring him on and talk about how he started this, and that he really has the passion for what he's doing, and that's an interesting story. So, Darren, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, guys. Nice to talk to you. You know, it's past my bedtime. Just so
Darren.
You know, I'm over here on the East Coast.
I know you're 3 hours different, but we do appreciate you coming on the show. And you know, for the first time we met you, we were excited about what I seriously meant about the passion that you showed. And maybe you can tell the audience how you started in the landscape business, and then what made you think about something called Turfs Up Radio, and how is that doing, and what is it doing, and so forth.
Well, you know, your listeners, they're in the green industry. You know, we all have the same story. We have a very similar story. I started, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I just needed to make some extra cash. I got a little lawnmower, you know, the whole nine yards. Everybody knows the thing. Everybody's got the same story. It's funny. As I talk to people, they all tell me the same thing. It's like we just smile and laugh. But what happened is
was it a Toro lawnmower?
I'll tell you what. I remember it had a Briggs & Stratton engine on it. That's what I do remember. But okay. and we didn't have a bag, and it turned out that was the right way to do it, to cut lawns back then anyway. But I tell you what, you know, just, you know, when you start to really love the smell. I was listening to one of your commercials that you just played talking about the smell of the glue of the pipe cement. I'm like, and they're talking about reducing that smell. I love that smell. When you're in that business, you start to love the smells, right? I mean, think about it. But anyway, we're not gonna talk about it. But listen, just like you guys, you know, we're all green industry professionals. We've been doing this for a long time, and you start to love what you do, and since you love it so much, you start to learn more and more about it. And that's, you always do that no matter what it is. So that's what happened. And as I got older, I started to say, you know, it's time. Actually, somebody just offered me an opportunity to get on the radio a while ago, back in 2010, said, hey, why don't you get on the radio and start teaching some of the stuff that to some of our, you know, the people that want to learn about what you're doing, what you've done. I'm like, back then I didn't think that was a big deal. And I did it for a little while. And then I come out, I emerge, you know, doing this, and I'm loving it. I'm starting to get some great feedback. And I come out of it, and I start to see that people like you are doing this. I mean, we're like-minded professionals. We're doing the same thing that we love to do. Now we get a chance to talk about it. So that's how I got into Turfs Up. That's how I got into Turfs Up and doing a show, and then Turfs Up Radio. Just, you know, we realized that we weren't, you know, who's listening to us doing one show on a station that has many different genres, many different things that are going on at one time? How do you know that you're focusing on the right professional, the right person that is interested in listening to your show? And I was on iHeart for a long time, and I worked out of West Palm Beach for 7 years. I went to my program director and I said, hey, Ken, who's listening to my show on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock? And he shrugged his shoulders. He goes, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? We're on iHeartRadio. You should know who's listening. You know, it's the biggest platform in the world. He says, maybe not for your industry. And I said, you know, we got to do something about that. That's when I created Turfs Up Radio. I said, you know what? We're going to be the only radio station that's 24/7 that's dedicated to the green industry. And that's what we built. And we've invited you guys on, and we're excited. I'm more excited to be part of you than you are to me, believe it or not. So I love the work you guys do.
We sincerely appreciate that. But tell us about some of the people that you have and the companies that you have and even some of the sponsors. Because, I mean, just so as I said earlier at the beginning of this, we've syndicated with you. And so our show is played on your show. And I think it's Saturday morning. Is that correct?
It's Saturday afternoons at 1 o'clock. We can move them to any way you want, which is great. You know, we have some great live shows. I know it's been tough, and I'm going to come out and see you very soon. I called you the other day, and I said, listen, I'm going to come out and see you because I'm going to show you how easy it is to get live onto Turfs Up Radio. I want you live at a specific time. We have great live shows throughout the day, great learning about science, about grass, learning about landscaping, learning about technology, digital marketing, all the things that you need to know about landscape or the green industry. Great stuff going on with Turfs Up Radio live, fresh and forward. But what's also good about it, we also have a way to get people involved. And you talked about, Chris, you talked about there's an event coming up on the 18th. That's a perfect event, and that's a free people for somebody to get on and learn. That's a great event that we would like to have on what we call greenindustryevents.com. It's a great website for people to find credits, to find webinars, seminars, and even events like the GIE Plus Expo that we'll go see you guys at, or even the IA that you guys are talking about. We list all that stuff. It's free to look at. It's free to submit your those classes and events, too. It's pretty cool. And then, you know, so we got a lot of great stuff. And talking about, if you want to talk about our advertisers, you know, I'd love to do that. But, you know, it's up to you.
No. You know, because I think, you know, people in this industry, this is all new to them. Because there never was a way to go that you have regular shows to talk about the industry that we're in. I mean, they have some farming shows, a lot of farming shows. I know that Meredith Agrimedia, who's a huge organization, they have magazines like Successful Farmer and a bunch of others, and they put on podcasts and things like that. But this is a regular thing that you guys do, and the same with us. And, you know, we started when there was a drought here in California 5 years ago. And now we've expanded, and we have people, you know, like you and all over the country, all over the world. We have people from Australia, people from Israel, people from Europe. I mean, it's a good thing because everybody learns. Communication is important. I learned a lot about vertical farming, and I'm still fascinated. That's my thing. I want to really go to one and see it in person. I've read about them, and I talk to people about it, but I want to go see one. I want to take a show there. I want to go with Chris Davies when the governor goes to California's emissions Sierra for the water or the ice and snow melt that we got. I mean, those are things that I think are important. And you know, we both of us broadcast from the different shows like the IA show and CIE and things like that. And I think that's good. And we're getting so many more people who now recognize what we do. And like you have sponsors that they give away expensive items. For example, I remember you telling me about that. You want to mention some of those?
I do. But first I want to tell you the difference and what's great about what you guys are doing. When I came out of doing my show and I said to me, I got to do something different. There's a lot of guys out there doing podcasts and doing stuff like what our individual shows are. And everybody has their own way of giving that information. What Turfs Up Radio has done is say, listen, we want all of that information on one platform so that our pros can learn. They can get elevated and educated while they're working. They can plug in their earphones and go, because anybody can go and start to look at a podcast or a YouTube video or stuff like that, but they can't do that while they're working. They can't, and that's the most important thing. And these guys want to keep going. So that's what's different. And what's cool about it, bringing up our advertisers, we have guys like Ferris, Geo Ripper, Red Max, Y Bravo, big companies that are part of Turfs Up Radio that are giving equipment away constantly. Every month, there's something going on. We have Mower Madness during the course of the of the week, Monday through Friday at 3 o'clock, they're giving away trimmers and blowers and mowers. And then during the course, then we have Matt Martin with Grass Factor, and then Eric Jones. So we're always giving stuff. There's always a way for somebody to win. Even Cast Lighting, it's great because they have Cast Lighting gives away a $1,500 demo kit with real bronze fixtures, so that people can learn how to use them, how to sell them to make more money. So that's what it's all about. So we're all on the same page, Guy. That's the whole idea. We want your show on Turfstar Radio, because that's where it belongs.
Darren, for the most part, most of the partners that are on your website and panel through on that list, we know those guys too, right? They're in our they're in our group. Maybe what you can do before you talk about some of those guys is kind of go through maybe what is some of the show lineup that you have right for the show, or kind of give us the top view of that.
Any good music? So talk about that too.
Well, the music. Listen, I love the I'm pumped up with the music. I have a show in the morning. Well, first, Eric Jones has a show between 6 and 8. He's teaching you how to. He's a landscape architect, and he teaches the guys how to do bidding and contracting, working through the eyes of a landscape architect. How do you conduct a business from the beginning to the end through his eyes? And he'll teach you that as you go along. But every Monday morning, every Monday through Friday between 6 and 8. Then I'm on the show. I do my own show called The Pump Station. Really what I like to do is I like to bring some great artists in and pump you guys up to get you started for your work day, because we all need music to get us energized, right? So that's what my job. But I get a lot of people. I invited you today. Like I tell you, just jump. You can come in and have a conversation with me. But these guys want to get pumped up. They want to hear some great music. And I find some stuff that nobody plays anymore. We miss the old day, the old music that we got pumped up. The green industry is built on good energy, great music, right? So we do
That's true.
And then during the course of the day, then we have great music again and lots of tips, because people send in their tips and we play those tips. They're all green industry tips led by green industry professionals from all over the country, even in big parts of the world as well, Singapore, Australia, all over. And they'll send in their tips and everybody's learning as they're going. Then we go back to then we have podcasts where people put their podcasts on our station between 2 and 4. We got Keeping Up with Mr. Jones, Executive Lounge, Profits Unlimited, a lot of stuff like that. Mower Madness is another great show. You're talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly in the green industry. They're going to bring it to you live from Scott's Power Equipment in St. Louis, Missouri. That's a really cool one. Live every day at 3 o'clock. And then you're talking about at 4 o'clock, right after that, you got Matt Martin with Grass Factor. This guy will melt your brain talking about grass. I mean, stuff you didn't even know. Hey, he'll grow grass in a bathtub and keep it going. It's amazing what he does, and he's amazing. And he'll do that for a couple. He's got a lot of listeners on that show. And then again, Eric is back on at 6 to 8 for the drive home. And then you got Russ Owens talking about radio. Remember radio theater, guys? Radio theater. Being able to turn that radio on and imagine what's going on, he brings some stuff. This guy, Russ, he calls himself Hecubus. He's a guy that used to be in the Army. He jumped out of an airplane and his parachute never opened up, and he landed and lived to tell about it. And this guy's got a story, and it's an ongoing story, and he found himself high in the Cascade Mountains up in Washington in a bunker. And he makes you believe that's exactly where he is. And the way he gets his beers and the way he gets his green industry information is done by pigeons. And it's funny as hell. And you got to listen to it. That's the show lineup. That's how that thing goes on. Then, of course, the weekend shows as well.
Now, you've been doing TurfStop Radio for how long now?
Well, TurfStop Radio, TurfStop Radio, the station itself, the 24-hour station, is just a little over a year old. February 14th was its first year anniversary. But we've been doing, I've been having TurfStop Radio, TurfStop, the show, has been around since 2009.
Yeah, and you end the day with a show called The Nightcap, which is on right now, I think, if you listen in.
Yeah. That's Russ right now. That's the Hecubus. That's him right now. He does. We got some other shows coming on too. We got engineering shows. People that want to learn about it, the engineer aspect of the green industry, wind and solar stuff like that as well. To add to your water, everything. We're just trying to round it all off. It's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So where do you see, and now your thing is also played, you have some arrangements with some, if you don't have to mention, if you don't want, some distributors who play your show through their stores on their video, and they can turn into that, and as customers come in, they can actually see and hear it, so that's a good thing.
Yep.
So you're getting lots
yep.
of exposure from that. And
yep.
and the response I know has been awesome. I know when I see you at a couple of shows that we both are at, I know you're extremely busy, and so are we. And but I really think the industry needs this communication, and for companies, I think it's a great way to expand their what's the right term I'm looking for, their presence and their brand recognition and their technology.
Well,
because you know, yes, there's media being print media, and that's what most of the people do, you know, but people listen to the radio, and they listen to the internet, and there's a way, I think that's the modern way to get information. I mean, look at newspapers, they're dying because of the internet.
We think that there's a reason for all kind of media. We believe that there's, you know, newspaper's never going to die. I mean, newspaper, print is never going to die with the magazine. It's always going to be people. There are still people that like print. I mean, Adam right. Linneman, one of our hosts, he says, Darren, I love opening up a magazine, something about it. But there's a reason for everything. Again, television, all the great stuff. But what you were talking about, it like at the GIE or the IA, when you and I did that, when we find each other busy doing that, you can easily go with us because we're actually Warren Sellers and the HNA at GIE Plus Expo has asked us to cover the entire event there, which is going to be great. Now we were going to do the HNA, that's been called off the contest. We did the contest at the Northeast Hardscape Expo. We were asked to broadcast that live on TV and on radio. We did that. It was a huge success. Warren Sellers was there and said, Darren, you're doing this at the GIE, and we're going to make this happen. So we teamed up with a great production company, and we really got this thing rolling. But the problem is, because of the COVID-19, it's just going to set us back one more year. But we're still going to broadcast live from there, and we're going to make it a big success. We've got a lot of great plans still, and we want to include you guys, Robert and Chris. We don't want you to be there as a separate entity. We want you to be there on TurfSup Radio, bringing Water Zone Show to TurfSup Radio and being part of all the things that all the excitement. We'll have monitors all over the place. People will know. If you go to GIE this year and you don't know who TurfSup Radio is when you leave, something's wrong. Something's going to be wrong. It's going to be
we certainly love your passion in what you do. And Chris, I tell you that all day long. I think it's a good way to spread the word about the industry and what's happening and get technical knowledge and bring people up to date, especially now, you know, as Chris was talking about with the IA with their webinar about the COVID things. And everything is changing. I had a report this morning, my management talking about what's happening in the different states, what's allowable, what's not allowable. Some stores can only operate to 25% capacity. Some only can do curbside pickup. You know, I mean, it's the same thing like going to the hardware stores here. You know, some of them require you got to wear a mask and you got to get a temperature taken. You got to wash your hands before you go in. I mean, all of that is the new normal. I don't know how long it's going to ever stay that way, but that's what it is. And for people who are in the landscape industry, which is really interesting, has been given an exception so they can stay open and work. And they see that as the need to maintain properties and buildings. You know? So I think that's a great thing for our industry. I'm saddened by a lot of businesses, small businesses, that will probably not come back. And you know, I no matter where you are, I know a lot of people, including myself and my family, we support the local restaurants, even though they're not open for seating until this Friday for here. They always had takeout, and that's what we've done. And you know, we want to see these people survive. We don't want to see their lifelong savings just go away. That's really sad. I mean, we went from one of the richest countries in the world, and now it's scary for a lot of people. I saw a sign on TV that said, no job, no rent.
I'm an optimist, not a pessimist, and I'm a big hugger, and I think that we're all very affectionate people. We're humans. I think that we're not going to, and we're too strong for this. I don't think this is going to, we're going to let this thing kill us. I mean, we're going to bounce back, and we are going to bounce back strongly. I think
absolutely
everything's okay. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. Chris, how do you see the industry with the communication portion, with the radio shows and such?
For us specifically, or just in general? I mean, from our show, right? I mean, there's so much that we'd like to do with that. Rob and I talk all the time for all of our listeners, but you know, we've got that day job thing still. So, and you know, that's kind of important. And knock on wood that we do have a day job after all we're talking about. But I think information is the key, right? People are starved for information. That's why that iWebinar is so important. You can get general information about what's going on. You listen to all these other doctors and healthcare professionals and the Faucis of the world and stuff like that. But contractors want to know specifically about their industry and how it's going to impact them. That's why this iWebinar is so important, because it is focused information delivered to people who want to listen to it and hear it.
I just want to tell you, I think the way you guys deliver information, your professionalism, you know, it stands. There's a lot of people out there doing it, and there's a lot of noise happening. But for people like you that are actually giving great information, you're finding the right people to talk to. That's what this industry really needs. That's the kind of stuff that's sustainable to make. And I, you know, all the noise that's underneath, the people that are just coming up with just stuff to talk about, that's going to go away. It's all the stuff that you're doing and the professionals that we connect with. That's what's going to make things. That's what's going to last the test of time. And people need that. People need good information. Go find it.
Yeah.
I know. Hey, Darren. We're winding down to the last few minutes here. Tell us about Turfed Up Television, because I know I've seen it on the website several times. What's that? What is it?
Yep.
What is it exactly?
We're working up with a production company that we found at the Northeast Hardscape Expo. This guy is a producer, director. He did a phenomenal job putting me in the right place when we were up there. And I said, we got to work together. He said, Darren, I'd love to. So we're creating a station just like you would go to a local, like you'd have a local station and you would be, you know, people would be interviewing you, whatever. We're going to be doing that nationwide. So wherever we are, we're bringing them with us so where people can see this in real life, see what's happening with the green industry. And what's great about that, by the way, just so you know, when you get on TurfSup Radio in the morning, any of our shows, you can go to TurfSupRadio.live. You'd be right into our studio, and that's where we're going to have TV that's going to run nonstop green industry information. It's going to be really cool. We're working on it. Not perfected yet, but we're going to get there because we have a big country to cover. You know that.
Absolutely. I know you asked me the other morning to call in early in the morning because we're, you know, 3-hour difference. So I'm going to talk to Chris tomorrow. We're going to figure a day that we can call you in. We'll coordinate dates and we'll call you and let you know when we're going to do that. We certainly want to do it, and we are going to do it. And I just want to coordinate with Chris because Chris is, I don't want to do it without him. He's the partner here in the show, and pulls as much weight as anybody. His pay is up to 2 IPAs a week. So
is always open for you guys between 8 and 10 Eastern Standard Time. But it's always open.
No, we appreciate that. So how can people, we know how to get a hold of you guys and such, but how do people find you?
You go to TurfSupRadio.com. That simple. And you'll find everything that you need to know is right there. It's real easy to navigate through our website, TurfSupRadio.com, and you'll find us as easy as that. How's that?
Great. So anything you want to tell us about what's happening in the near future that you haven't told us yet?
A lot of great things happening. You know, we just can't wait to get out. We just can't, because our business model is to broadcast live, and that's what we're waiting for. And that's going to happen soon. And as soon as we can, we're going to be everywhere. So look out for us.
I heard you can have a big rock and roll star possibly on your show.
Well, I would love that. I'd love to hear that. I mean, we want that as much as possible. That's what. Check me out every morning, 8 to 10. You'll be hearing some people, some great rock and roll stars, and I'm going to bring them, find out about their music. We're going to play some of their music and what got them inspired during the course of when they were
growing up. Excited. My buddy's excited, so he'll give you a call. So, all right, well, thanks, everybody. Chris?
Hey, Darren, great to have you on the show, man. Thanks for staying up late.
Thank you, guys. Thanks a lot.
Hey, remember, everybody, most thing you got to do this week is...
the planet move.
Good night, everybody. See you next week. KCAA.